We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
We try to get as close to the field and visit as often as we possibly can, right? So definitely whenever we're piloting software, we go to the field, talk to the facility. It's a big deal to build those relationships so that you develop the empathy and actually not just going to the facilities to look at the software and observe and ask questions, but it's actually doing the job that your software supports, right? So it's nice, you know, and we strive to get people out into the field. And if you're targeting software for like truck unloading or moving around, you're actually doing the truck unloading. So spend a day like with a dolly moving the furniture in the warehouses yourself so you can understand how you might use or feel about the software differently after you've been on your feet for 4 hours moving couches around the warehouse, right?
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. For today's episode, I'm turning over the microphone to my friend and colleague, Sarah Rand, to take a look behind the scenes at Wayfair.
Thanks, Bill. Today, we're fortunate to be sitting down with Dustin Bennett, who is the Director of Supply Chain Engineering at Wayfair. We're going to chat about some of the innovative logistics solutions Wayfair is developing to help serve both its employees and its customers better. Dustin, welcome.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you here.
Glad to be here.
And I get to be joined today by the very best co-host, Chris Stewart. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
What's new in supply chain?
What's new in supply chain? You know, particularly at Wayfair, almost everything is new. It's a category with home goods that we have a lot of large, bulky items. You know, it's a difficult problem that we have trying to get them from suppliers to customers without inflicting damage or anything and giving a seamless customer experience, right? So at Wayfair, we're really, you know, building on all pieces of the supply chain right now to service that product.
I can't even imagine how many people are touching, how long that supply chain is before it just, for me as a customer, like, the chair just magically shows up at my door.
Right.
I'm on my iPad and now it's at my door. And in between, you're working your magic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, you know, basically it, everywhere from the product getting from suppliers, inducting it into our network, moving it around the country, depending on where the supplier and warehouse is, where the customer is. But there's a lot that goes behind the scenes from when you click checkout on the webpage to when it actually shows up at your door.
Mm-hmm. But this is something that, I mean, any online retailer is going to have to deal with, but Wayfair has specific challenges. Can you talk a little bit about the challenges of I mean, home products? These aren't This isn't a computer. This isn't a tablet that you're shipping. This is a sofa.
Right, for sure. That's, and it's a big thing, right?
It's literally a big challenge.
It's large and it's large, bulky. You know, there's a lot of two-person lifts required with that.
Yeah.
Damage and product packaging is very challenging in the large goods space as well. So, you know, a lot of things that we do are related to working with our suppliers to make sure that things are able to be packed and shipped accordingly. They're able to handle you know, moving around the country and the network with multiple touches. And so that when you do receive that couch or the table or that perfect item that you found on the website to match your home style and personal style, that it arrives when you expect it to, how you expect it to, intact. And, you know, it contributes to living in a home that you love.
And this isn't like flat pack furniture. This is a fully assembled sofa that is...
Yeah, so it's varied. Some of the product is self-assembled. We obviously offer assembly and installation services of various type, depending on what the product is. So we work with the customers there. Some of the stuff is pre-assembled, but yeah, it kind of runs the whole gamut. So there's a lot of customer touch points there at the last mile from our delivery agents into the customer's home.
Yeah. And I'm imagining the USPS doesn't deliver sofas.
not typically, no. But, you know, most of our, I believe it's about 2/3 or so of our product runs through a Wayfair-owned last-mile delivery facility for our large parcel items.
One of the things that I think is so interesting about supply chain today is the transparency that the customer has. Can you talk a little bit about how you meet that demand that customers have to want to know where it is and what, not just a window of please be at your home on this date between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., but they want to know where it is. What intersection are you at in my city?
Exactly, yeah. So that's one thing that we've launched fairly recently as our day of delivery tracking. So when you do have an item that's out for delivery on the day of, you can see where the driver is in the Wayfair app. You can see exactly where they are on the route, how many stops they have left, and you can get an idea of exactly when they're going to come to your place. It also provides the ability to call directly into the call center if there's an exception or you're not going to be home or anything like that. So it's a pretty seamless, you know, way to track and communicate when you're getting your actual order.
Are you focused more on the customer side of the business of that logistics and that tracking? Or are you focused more on your on the internal side, or are you just across the board? You're trying to from point A to point B and all stops in between.
So that's a great question. So me particularly in supply chain engineering, it's really supply chain software engineering. So it's software teams that are building systems, writing code, you know, integrating with suppliers and third-party systems to make everything run end-to-end. So a lot of our tooling that we build ends up being internal associate facing. So, you know, employees in the warehouse or, you know, truckload planners, dispatchers, that type of thing. We have a pretty big focus on the transportation side of supply chain as well. So outside of the warehouse management systems and whatnot, the actual getting the product from facility to facility and ultimately into the customer's home.
Can you give us some examples of how that kind of technology, like what is that technology doing for that associate?
You know, it's everything from some guided picking in the warehouses to, you know, doing the routing efficiency planning. So if you think about, we load trucks pretty early in the morning for delivery day routes. We have to get an idea of what the product mix looks like that's going out that day to customers' home. We want to efficiently plan the stops for both the deliveries and if we have returns or pickups at customer spaces, we want to have the truck drivers be able to operate as efficiently as they can and not give them any surprises as, you know, as far as sending them out of the way. So a lot of the route dispatch and then handling exceptions, right? So if a delivery driver gets to a place and they're unable to get the product into the house or the, you know, the customer wants to return it or whatever, there are also tools and systems that support that decision.
You can return a couch?
You can return a couch, yes.
How deep, I mean, what kind of detail are you going into when I'm thinking about efficiency? I remember reading some years ago, UPS had said, we're not going to have our trucks make left turns whenever possible because we just waste time and energy idling at these red lights or even a green light waiting to turn left. And so, I mean, how deep down are you guys getting when you're talking about that supply chain efficiency?
Yeah, I would say, you know, not necessarily that deep down. It's the bigger problem is that we have fairly wide delivery windows, you know, because there's a lot of unknowns and variables as you're doing adding installation and assembly services, potentially having to deal with you know, the idiosyncrasies of moving large packages into individual homes. So it's a bit broader problem than looking directly at do left turns make sense. It's more of how are we able to commit to customers a particular time window, hit that time window, execute, and then move on and manage our exceptions properly.
And customer expectation is so high. I mean, and Wayfair kind of prides itself on, you know, I'm going to give you exactly what you want when you want it. And, you know, anything that you're looking for to complete this vision of your home.
Absolutely.
And so they've got that high expectation for the product and they're going to, that high expectation is going to carry over into the entire process.
Definitely. And there's a fundamental expectation now that's been driven kind of by the industry in terms of speed, right?
Yeah.
And what, you know, I want something now. If I'm in the app, I want to be able to get it soon. I expect that if I'm not getting it necessarily soon or next day, you know, I'm at least told when I get it and I can rely on that because if you, most of the large products, you do want to be home. You have to, you know, take time out and plan your day around receiving the delivery and that type of stuff. So it's definitely important from a customer standpoint, you know, and a lot of personal touch goes into the category shopping for home decor, right? So our big mission is that everybody should live in a home that she loves. So that definitely ties into the supply chain and executing the actual deliveries on schedules to customer expectations.
Yeah.
That is a lot of stuff that you guys are doing. How big is your team and what kind of roles are on it?
Yeah, so overall, the supply chain engineering organization now is you know, fairly large. There are a number of delivery teams that are working on it. As far as the specific roles that we have, you know, it's similar to what you would see at a software delivery shop, right? We have software engineers. We have those folks are the ones that are hands on keyboard writing the code. We have product managers as well that are doing more of the, you know, business analytics and backlog building and road mapping for where we're going with the individual software and systems. We have user experience researchers and designers who are you know, we'll go out into the field and work with associates in the field to understand points of friction and pain points in the operations and the software as well. And then that also rolls into kind of prototyping, whether it's a digital or just even a paper prototype out in the field, making sure that we're designing the right thing and not just, you know, building ourselves and, you know, deploying software that the field has to use without engaging them. So kind of runs the whole gamut from the software engineering, software delivery role.
That was something I was thinking about and wondering about is how much do the associates have, the people who are on the front lines, how much, you know, input do they have? And, you know, have you had instances where you've got someone saying, this is just a problem that I have been having and you guys, can you just help me? I don't know what to do here. And we just keep running into this.
Right. Yeah. So we try to get as close to the field and visit as often as we possibly can, right? So definitely whenever we're piloting software, we go to the field, talk to the facility. It's a big deal to build those relationships so that you develop the empathy and actually not just going to the facilities to look at the software and observe and ask questions, but it's actually doing the job that your software supports, right? So it's nice, you know, when we strive to get people out into the field. And if you're targeting software for like truck unloading or moving around, you're actually doing the truck unloading. So spend a day like with a dolly moving the furniture in the warehouses yourself so you can understand how you might use or feel about the software differently after you've been on your feet for 4 hours moving couches around a warehouse,
sure.
Right? So that's important as well to actually use it as the software is in the field.
What a great way to learn.
Yeah. You have some up-to-the-minute updates with a live visual tracking feature, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that was the piece of the app I was alluding to earlier. So in the Wayfair app, when you do have on your day of delivery, you can track the actual delivery truck as it's on its route. So you can see, you know, the driver has two more stops before they get to me. Like it gives you a little bit more visibility on the delivery window. So you're not sitting there waiting, hoping that your thing will arrive when you expect it to.
Can you talk about some of the challenges that you found with building that app or that functionality?
One of the challenges that we run into with that app or anything you really develop is how do you identify your pilots and your target base, right? So a lot of our deployments, we will do pilot testing and targeted different versions of the software running on different things. And like to the earlier point, we're very focused on improving the customer experience and, you know, generating, you know, a pretty loyal base of promoters. So we can't do anything that will potentially inflict that negatively, right? So we look at a lot of data and metrics to determine, but honing in on exactly what metrics you may be unintentionally impacting is always the challenge, right? Mm. So you got to keep kind of a wide field of vision for that.
Yeah. Taking it a bigger perspective than just Wayfair, what technologies are you excited about in the next 2 years that you think are going to be worth investing in?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think a lot of the enterprise and operational software space will typically follow kind of this consumer patterns, right? So the ubiquity of mobile apps and mobile devices everywhere, just seeing that roll out more, a lot more, you know, potentially automation in terms of sortation or robotics that, you know, me personally, I think that that's definitely an interesting space that will come into play.
What is sortation?
Okay. So, sorry.
The automation of sortation.
Yeah, the automated sortation.
Sounds cool.
So sortation is essentially how you move packages around within a facility, right? So if I receive a truck on one side of a building, and I need to break that load down to go out to different lanes. So if you're if you have a facility in Chicago, you're pulling in product from, say, the West Coast to deliver to up and down the Eastern Seaboard, you may receive a truck in the building and then put it on outbound lanes to different cities up and down the East Coast, right? So that process in between where you're sorting the actual packages and parcels is the sortation piece, right?
Okay.
Which
okay.
Moving away from people having to physically manually do that to, mm-hmm. You know, you see like factory style conveyors that will automatically do the sortation for some of the parcels as well.
Okay. Thank you. I'm learning a lot. You obviously love your job a lot.
I do.
What is inspiring you? You have, I wish people could see you in the studio. You're like, you're so jazzed about this.
Yeah.
What makes you so excited every day?
I mean, really, it's the people that I work with. And that's part of the reason that I decided to come to Wayfair, right? When I was chatting with folks, interviewing, I always ask, what do you like most about your job? And the first answer I got pretty much across the board was the people that I work with. So work with a very highly motivated, highly intelligent group of people. That's what gets me, you know, gets me excited to walk into the office every day. And everybody's really kind of rowing in the same direction. There's definitely a very collaborative nature, very open dialogue, very low egos, and everybody's kind of working on the same problem space in a very motivated way. It's great.
How do you find the right mix of technical skills and the soft skills that you're talking about when you find people for your team?
That's a great question. That's very challenging, right? And different people gravitate different ways. So I think the big challenge and the big thing you try to do is have a good mix of like individual personalities that may float one way or the other. And then, you know, on an individual level as well, sometimes the pendulum will swing where there's periods of having to be more technical versus having to lean into your soft skills more. So it's always kind of a back and forth tug of war on which way you're leaning.
You're talking about, say we have this DC in Chicago, this distribution center in Chicago. How key is logistics? I mean, are you thinking about where we're going to be placing distribution centers to speed up that process? Or are you thinking further out from the distribution centers? I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like global supply chain. So it's a global optimization problem for us. So it's really end to end, right? And it goes, Wayfair is definitely heavily investing in our Wayfair delivery network for large parcel deliveries. So we're continuing to grow that out. So you'll see, you know, increasing facility counts and things like that. So we really take a holistic, comprehensive strategy in looking at the end to end supply chain operation.
And the delivery network, is that made up of a bunch? I mean, is that all Wayfair owned, or is it? Are you guys creating this whole new branch of the company that is focused on delivery?
So it's not new at this point. Wayfair launched its WDN a couple of years ago. Prior to that, it had been dropship less than truckload from suppliers essentially to customers. And with the launch of the Wayfair delivery network, we saw for packages that go through Wayfair buildings, through Wayfair networks, there's a very large jump in customer promoter score and customer satisfaction, right? So when we are able to move those things through our facilities, we see a huge, huge jump in customer satisfaction metrics. So I think right now we're at about 2/3 of our packages go through a Wayfair last mile facility, and about 90%, I believe, traverse the middle mile network.
And are you looking to get to 100%?
Not necessarily. It's a continual evaluation of like where that number is, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Dustin, I think we're out of time. But before we go, we have something that I understand you are aware of because you are a listener.
I am a listener.
So you know, but you haven't prepared because you don't know what we're going to ask.
I don't know the questions for sure.
This segment is called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
What's the last piece of furniture you bought?
Nice.
The last piece of furniture that I bought was a bar cart off of Wayfair, obviously.
Nice. If you had $1,000 to spend, what would you spend it on, not counting furniture?
For me, it would be, I'm a big experience spender, so it may be, the Patriots are in the playoffs, so maybe a playoff ticket tomorrow if I was able to make it, or potentially like a vacation or snowboarding trip.
Okay. Best place you've ever traveled?
Best place I've traveled had to be Morocco. Went to Morocco earlier this year. It was fantastic, a lot different from other international travel that I've done previously.
As previously mentioned, you love your job. If you could do any other job, what would it be?
That's a great question. If I was not in technology, I would have probably gone the political science to attorney route. So it would have been quite a different career path.
But. Yeah, definitely. All right. What's your pet peeve?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say my biggest pet peeve is... In a work context, I'd say fire and forget emails, right? Rather than walking up and having a direct conversation, kicking things over the fence.
What song do you go to for inspiration?
I'd have to say Rockstar by Post Malone.
Best thing about the way you were raised?
Best thing about the way that I was raised, I would say my parents maintained a very close involvement with my brother and I. Both grew up playing sports, and they were at all of our games. They were always, at most of our practices, frankly. So I think the close parental involvement was definitely, definitely nice.
What's the last print magazine that you read?
Harvard Business Review. I'm a Wall Street Journal reader too. So I'm kind of old school in that I still get the physical paper every day and read it on my walk to work.
Every day. Nice.
Wait, you read it while you're walking?
On my walk.
Very dangerous. Look up.
Dustin, if people want to learn more about Wayfair, where should they go?
They should go to wayfair.com and make a purchase for your home.
Okay, that's easy. Well, thank you for joining us, Dustin. And thank you for co-hosting, Chris. It was so fun to have you.
Of course.
And thank you to all of you listeners out there for joining us for another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thank you for listening. If you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your colleagues about the show or give us a rating on your podcast app.